Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
And God, we lift you up. You are everything, God, and there's nothing that we can do apart from you. In a spirit of worship, would you just do this? Would you close your eyes for a minute? Some of you sat here as the call to prayer was made, and you said to yourself, I can't walk up there. I can't do it. And inside, you were like, ugh. You know what's great is that we serve a God that will come to you. If your faith wasn't such, or your personality wasn't such to say, you know what, man? I need something from God, but my legs won't move. That's fine. He wants to come to right where you are right now. This is what I want to ask you to do. In a step of faith, if you have need of God right now, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. There's a need in my life that I need God to move in. There's a need in my life that I need God to move in. We serve a need-meeting God. He wants to meet you right where you're at. Father God, I pray right now in the power of the name of Jesus that you would move in the lives of your people. God, by faith, as they've raised their hands, God, I pray that you would move in those situations. God, that you would repair, that you would heal, that you would build, that you would lift up. God, I pray for that skeptic that raised their hand that doesn't believe that you're going to do it. God, prove yourself faithful right now so that there will be no question in their life that it is you that did it and that they'll give you the glory. God, I just pray for your encouragement and peace over your people this morning, God. I pray for total and complete restoration. Amazing, miraculous restoration that can only come from you, God. I pray for it right now in Jesus' name. God, we place our lives in your hands. Father, we place our lives in your hands. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, we thank you today, Father, in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated if you would, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sure. Brian, you give me just a little bit more? Just a little bit more? Dude, I need to hear my voice a little bit more than that. I feel like I'm screaming. Is that loud enough, Beto? Is it good? All right. Praise God. Man, I love you guys. I love this church. And I just got to tell you guys, as God continues to grow our church, I've just been praying where we're going and what we're doing, but you just might have to sit closer to people.
Amen. That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. You know? Amen. So, hey, how many of you know we don't do announcements at our church? Yeah, man, we don't save so much time when you don't do announcements. So you can read in your bulletin what your announcements are. But as I'm just taking the time to open up my Bible, I just want to tell you a couple things. The first one is that Pastor Jeremy is going to be leading pre-service prayer on Sundays at 8:00, so you can come out for that. Say amen if you're a man.
Amen.
Dude, like some of you need to say amen. And we're going to have a men's event on February 20-something. What is it? 28th. It's a Friday. Our men's advance is coming up the end of March. And so we need you to sign up for that thing and get excited for it. But as a preview to it, we're going to use some technology. And technology. It's much higher than technology. It's technology. And so we're going to use some technology, and Pastor John Butcher from Fairfield, California, is going to be video preaching to us for that men's event. We've never done this before, but I just thought, you know, what a great thing for the men to be able to meet Pastor John before he comes up. And so I called him on the phone. I was like, listen, man, you better bring your A game, because if you're no good, they're not coming to the retreat. And he was like, amen, hallelujah. So, you guys will love Pastor John, so he's going to be bringing the word via video, live, Faith and Victory. We're going to try that, so sign up for that. And I think that's it. Is that it, Pastor Todd? Awesome. You guys want to hear some good preaching?
Yes.
Nice. You should have gone somewhere else. Let's go. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the powerful name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and it's active and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you would use this word to change us, to challenge us, to encourage us, to correct us. God, we receive it as a word from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our study of the book of John. Amen. And for those of you that are just joining us this morning that are visitors, we would like to say welcome. Folks, are we glad that they're here? Do we want them to come back?
Yes,
of course we do. You know, visitors always come. They're like, I'm not sure if they liked me. And we're like, dude, we love you, man. Come back. So we've been going through the book of John now for a good year and a half. We're not in a rush. We just kind of take our time. So we're in John chapter 10 today, which is almost halfway through. There's 21 chapters. And so, I don't know, it's 2014. We started in 2012. We'll be done by 2016 sometime. So I want to start out by painting a picture. Say amen if you've ever been to a concert or an event before.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, most of us have. And say amen if you've ever snuck your way in without paying a ticket.
Amen.
Oh. My wife was at the top of that moment. I was like, amen, rock and roll. And so if you've ever been to an event and you saw those people that didn't pay their way or got in through less than honorable means, you know, as a guy that always pays for his ticket, I get kind of frustrated with those types. I'm like, you know what, how come they didn't have to pay? And how come they're down here in my expensive seats when I know well and good they paid for the $7 bleacher seats? You know what I mean? Well, Jesus spiritually kind of talks about that this morning when it comes to the kingdom of God, in that there are some people that he is talking to that have tried to make their way in without paying their ticket price. And so today we're going to be in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and we're continuing that story from last week somewhat, and that Jesus had just healed the blind man, and now he's rebuking these Pharisees once again. And you can read along with me today, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things in which he spoke to them. Verse 7, "And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Amen?
Amen.
The title of today's message is Get in the Sheepfold. Get in the Sheepfold. Now, for those of you that haven't heard me preach before, I just want to explain to you how this works. As I go through three phases, the first one is, what does it say? The next phase is, what does it mean? And the third phase is, what does it mean to you? About halfway through this sermon, once I get through the what does it mean part, some of you are beginning to think in your spirit, wow, he's almost done. I'm just warming up. All right? So let's settle in and see what the Lord has for us today. So what does it say? Well, this portion of Scripture, man, it's not one of these ones that you read once and you're like, oh, I get it. Like, you got to read this thing over a few times to really kind of get all the imagery and what he's talking about. What Jesus is saying is, whoever does not come into the sheepfold by the door is doing it wrong. The door is the only way to the sheepfold, and he who comes through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There's a doorkeeper who opens the door, and the shepherd comes up, and the sheep hear his voice of the shepherd, and he calls the sheep out by name and leads them out, and as he leads them, they follow because they're his sheep. And if they don't, they're not going to follow that shepherd. So these Pharisees, they don't understand. So he says, listen, let me explain it to you. I am the door of the sheep, no one else. The ones before led no one. Anyone who comes through me will be saved. And then he says, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give him life everlasting. So what does it mean? Well, first off, I want to talk a minute about this sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold in Palestine was an important part of what they did there. Now, During this time, a few thousand years ago, there was a lot of sheep herders. It was a large part of their economy. Sheep herding is not a lot. Anybody here a sheep herder this morning? Amen. Some of you parents are like, I just herd my kids. It's about the same. But there's not, sheep herding is not a job that is in large supply or demand in America. There's currently about probably 1,000 or so sheep herders in America. Well, back then there was a ton of sheep herders. And how it worked was, is these guys would, the shepherds as it was, they would go out and they would take their flocks out into the surrounding area so their sheep could eat and water and do what sheep do. Well, at night what would happen is that the shepherds would take their sheep and they would bring them into this area called a sheepfold. And what a sheepfold was, it was central to the community at hand. And it was a walled place that had 10 to 12 foot walls. And there was one door and one door only by which people would enter in through and bring their sheep into the sheepfold. And then what the shepherd would do is that he would take his sheep and he would put them in charge of the gatekeeper of the sheepfold for the evening so that the shepherd could, I don't know, go out dancing for the night or whatever. And then the gatekeeper would hold on to the shepherd's sheep for the evening. And then the next day, the shepherd would come in and go to the door. And the gatekeeper would recognize him as a legitimate owner of the sheep. And then he would call out his sheep. Now, sheep are dumb, smart animals, which is saying a lot, isn't it? So what would happen is that the shepherd would actually call out the name of his sheep. And because the shepherd had been shepherding his sheep... You know the hardest tongue twister in the world? Does anybody know what it is? It's the sixth sheep. That's the hardest tongue twister in the world. We're getting close to that. Anyway, so say that five times fast. So the shepherd would walk in and he would call out to his sheep and he would say, "Hey, sheep!" And they would know his voice, and so those sheep would then follow that shepherd and none else. It's an uncanny thing that a shepherd could walk amongst a ton of sheep and only the ones that were his would follow him because they knew the voice of their shepherd. And that's a fact. Now, what is Jesus referring to when referencing the sheepfold? Now, some people say it's the church or heaven, but you cannot force your way into God's church or you cannot force your way into heaven. Okay? You can't do that. What Jesus is specifically referencing here is Judaism and the process by which somebody enters into the fold of Israel. Now, what had been happening during this time is that the Pharisees had become a group of people that were leading the Jewish people, but what they were doing is they weren't leading them through the scriptures, they were leading them through the oral traditions of them. Like for a few hundred years, they had a bunch of oral traditions that they had passed down that now became the way in which people became a Jew. And so Jesus is kind of throwing that away and saying, listen, man, you guys are not leading them the proper way. You're leading them with the ways of men, not the ways of God. Now, let's talk about these doors. There's three doors referenced in the scripture. This first door in verse 1, he says, "He who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber." Now, this is a reference to the legality of the entrance into the nation of Israel or Judaism. One must be legally entitled to the right of going through the door of access. Now, God being God and us not being Him, God chose the nation of Israel as His holy people and said, "These are the people that I'm going to bless, and no one is going to be blessed except for my nation of Israel. Everybody else, good luck." And people say, "Well, that's not very nice." Well, one day when you become God, you can make the rules how you want it. That's what He did. And so, bless God, that entrance into Israel has been opened up to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we are now spiritual Jews because of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is declaring this door area, he wants these people to understand, if you don't come through the legal means to become a Jew, a legal means to become a part of the nation of Israel, you are not allowed to come into the nation of Israel. Anybody that comes up over the top, or anybody that comes around through the outside, is not legally allowed. Us as spiritual Jews are legally allowed into the nation of Israel because of who Jesus is. Amen? Anyone who does not use these means is a thief and a robber, and they have no right to enter the sheepfold. The second door. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, Jesus is also, as much as he's proclaiming there's only one legal way in, he also says there's only one legal Messiah. There's only one that is going to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies. There's only one that is going to live the type of life that a Messiah must live, and he is the only one that is legally allowed to say, I am the Messiah. And the only way in is through Messiah, Jesus being the Messiah. Now he says this Messiah has every right to go through the door, and the one who comes through that door is the actual shepherd. He has sheep in there. He's going to walk in, and it references that third door, is that this is that a reference to him actually being the Messiah. So he says, you have to do the legal rites. He says, there has to be a legal Messiah. And then the third one, he says, you know what? I am that door. I am the legal means by which somebody becomes a Jew. I am also the legal Messiah, and I am that door in which I am referencing, and that I am the only way in which you can go and be in the sheepfold. Amen. Does that make sense? A lot of stuff this morning. Stick with me. Also, Jesus talks about himself being the true shepherd. Now, there's certain marks that mark a true shepherd. It says in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And I referenced that earlier, but part of Jesus' standing as the great shepherd is the fact that he calls and people respond. If you look at the life of Jesus up to this point, he goes in and he says, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. And guys are like, okay. Drop everything that they're doing, follow him. He says, listen, if somebody wasn't a true shepherd, like if I walked into a group of sheep and I was like, hey, sheep, come follow me. They'd be like, that ain't our shepherd. We ain't following that guy. If they truly were my sheep, I could walk in, call to them, be like, hey, sheep. And then they would follow me because I was their shepherd. Jesus says, I am the true shepherd. Why? First, he entered the fold by the door. He's not a thief. He's not a robber. He's not creating the messiahship. He is the Messiah because the scriptures declare that he was Messiah. So he entered in through the right door. Secondly, he entered the door by the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper himself opened up the door for Jesus to be the true shepherd. I'm going to explain to you what the doorkeeper is in just a moment, so just file that one away. We'll get back to it. Thirdly, he proved himself by recognizing and the sheep responding to the voice of the shepherd. All of these were met in Jesus to prove that he was, in fact, the true shepherd of Israel. Now, let me tell a little side note. I'm going to go on a little rabbit trail here for just a minute. There's a common theme in this time, these days and age, where people are trying to do whatever they can to discredit Jesus' messiahship. And you can find videos on Netflix or YouTube or on the History Channel where they're talking about during that time that there was a bunch of people that claimed to be Messiah. Jesus just happened to be the one that, you know, rose to the top of the crop or whatever. Have you guys seen this stuff? And they say, well, there's another guy that was born in Nazareth, or there was another guy that did this. The difference between Jesus and all those other guys is that currently Jesus has above a billion followers on this planet. Amen. Apparently at least a billion of us have heard his voice. Yeah. If all those other guys had been the powerful Messiah, if all those ones had been the true shepherd of Israel, they wouldn't just be a story in some documentary from some guy. There would be followers of him. Apparently, the true shepherd of Israel has been able to call a billion or so followers into the fold. Amen? Thousands of years. It's stuck. We're not here worshiping some guy on a Sunday. We're here worshiping the true shepherd of Israel. Amen? So let's talk about this doorkeeper. And this part, I was really excited about this. The doorkeeper, now keep the sheepfold example, okay? The doorkeeper was the one that actually held open the door for shepherds and the sheep. And some people, and this is where it just kind of started to be hard to grasp this thing, because as you're reading the story and you think, well, if the doorkeeper is the one that's letting people into the sheepfold, isn't the doorkeeper the one that's actually in control? Wouldn't you think that, right? Or is it just me? That's what I thought. So I thought to myself, well, who's the doorkeeper, man? Because the doorkeeper's holding the door. The doorkeeper's letting people in. The doorkeeper's the one that's introducing the shepherd, right? The doorkeeper is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ah, isn't that great? The doorkeeper is the means by which the shepherd is introduced to the sheep. And if you notice Jesus, like Jesus himself, he was announced as Messiah by John the Baptist, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit declared that Jesus was Messiah. Jesus didn't stand up and say, I'm Messiah. The Holy Spirit said that He was Messiah, right? Only through the Holy Spirit can the door be opened up between the shepherd and the sheep, and the two meet that two together, and that God Himself calls us to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the shepherd can only call to the sheep that has been introduced by the Holy Spirit, because in and of ourselves, we can't save ourselves, right? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need that Holy Spirit as the connection between us and the shepherd. Those who are the true sheep of Israel will hear the voice of the shepherd. They will come to Him, believe in Him, and go to Him.
Amen.
That, my friend, is the reason why oftentimes you will be around people that claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, yet they do not hear the voice of the true shepherd. Now, some of you are like, man, I never hear from God. Well, then I would question whether or not you are following the great shepherd.
Yeah,
because if you are following the great shepherd, the doorkeeper, the Holy Spirit, will live inside of you and actually lead you and guide you to the great shepherd.
Yeah, amen.
The promise and the seal of the Holy Spirit is just that, is that the Holy Spirit Himself will dwell within you and lead you in that relationship with the great shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
Those who are the true sheep of Israel will hear the voice of the shepherd. You know, if you go back over the last few weeks, and you can go back and listen to it, the story right before in chapter 9 is that the blind man is there, he gets healed, and then part of the story is that he is so overcome with the reality of his physical eyes being opened that he's no longer blind, and then his spiritual eyes are opened to the reality that Jesus is truly Messiah, right? So what happens is the Pharisees, because they're so upset with this blind man saying that Jesus is Messiah, what do? They kick him out. They say, well, get out of here. Go with that guy. Isn't it interesting that God used the evilness of the Pharisees to bring this man to faith in Jesus Christ and actually bring him into the sheepfold? The true sheep are always going to hear the voice of the shepherd. That blind man was like, I hear that voice. I'm following that guy. God using the evil of men to accomplish His holy purposes. Amen? Let's talk about this thief for a second here. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in this scripture, you'll notice the singular term of the word thief. He doesn't say thieves. He says thief. Now, this word thief directly correlates to a reference of Satan. Okay? Now, in this specific instance, Jesus is referencing the future of the Antichrist coming, the great deceiver, the one that is going to come and deceive nations, and that he is the ultimate false shepherd. Folks, would you realize today that there is a false shepherd that is endeavoring to lead your soul? Right now, as you sit, Satan is scheming plans and means by which he can lead you to follow a false shepherd. And many will be deceived. And the many people that are going to be deceived are the ones that never followed the true shepherd. It's true. It's sad, but it's true. I will tell you, and I'm not being prideful, I'm just being honest, I am not going to be deceived by a false shepherd because I know who the true shepherd is. I know what the great shepherd does. I know what His word says. Some people will not be so lucky when the evil one appears. They will be led astray by this thief, this great deceiver, this Antichrist. And Jesus, when He says this, He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is in reference to who Satan has always been. It's the nature of his deception, is that all he wants to do is to lead people astray so that he can kill them, so that he can destroy them. It's what he wants to do. He wants to steal things from their lives. Now, if you've ever had Satan steal anything from your life, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had him destroy anything in your life, you know what I'm talking about. He will use whatever means possible, Satan, to encourage you to go down a path that you think leads to life so he can destroy you. That's what happens when you follow the false shepherd. He leads you into paths of destruction. But Jesus declares and he promises a more abundant life for those who follow Him. Amen? Now, it's my introduction. Let's get into the preaching. Here we go. The first thing is this, folks, of what it means to you. The first thing is this. Hear me, church. You want to be in the sheepfold.
Amen.
It's where you want to be. Okay? So great. Jenna picked great songs today. There's nowhere else I'd rather be, right? There's another song, Heaven's Gate is Open Wide, and I thought, sheepfold. I mean, it was a perfect choice of songs. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. The sheepfold is the best place for you to be. Amen? And that sheepfold represents the flock of God, the nation of Israel, God's holy nation. Amen? Under His care and protection, safe from the harm of the enemy. Amen? Sheep that were brought into the sheepfold were kept from harm. Amen? No, I'm not a sheep, but if I was a sheep, I would like to be where there weren't wolves. Amen? A nice stone wall between me and the wolves is the place where I would like to be. I don't want to be out there in the wilderness in the dark. Many of you know, man, I'm still afraid of the dark. Don't laugh. It's true. I got night lights all over my house, man. I don't like the dark, because in the dark you can't see what's coming for you. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. God has made provision for you, child of God, that you may live inside the sheepfold under His protection and care. Amen?
Amen.
Now, does that mean that everything in your life is going to be perfect? No. Because I didn't live during those times, but I would guess that probably every once in a while, some wolf would find his way over the wall. But one wolf making his way over the wall still makes me say, you know what, I would still rather be inside the wall where one wolf gets in every once in a while instead of being out there where they all are all the time. Amen? You want to be in the sheepfold. It's where you want to be. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen? Oh, praise God. I want that kingdom. I want kingdom living in my life. And the only way in is through the door of Jesus Christ. There is no other way, folks. The only way to get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 3. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Amen? Now listen to me, church. Listen to this. One of the greatest evils of this world is that people want to live their lives without God and His protection. It's one of the greatest evils of this world. Now hear me on this. One of the most sovereign things that God does is He lets people do that. He lets people do that. People call out to God and say, God, I don't want you. I don't want you in my life. I want to live my life the way that I want to live it. And God says, okay. Okay. Go out. Live amongst the wolves. The sheepfold's here. There's a door. You're more than welcome to come in. But if you want to live out in the wilderness, being running from wolves and being out there with them, I'm not going to stop you. And that's a sad place to be when people cry out to God and say, God, leave me alone. And He says, okay. He's still loving them. He's still calling to them. But because of their own hearts and their own minds, they say, you know what? I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to live underneath His care. If you don't want to come into the sheepfold at night, there's a vast expanse of wilderness that is there for your leisure. Help yourself to it. Now, as some of you may know, I was in the Army. Amen? Brack makes fun of me because every time I have an Army story, he always says to me, he'll send me a text today. Watch. He'll send me a text and he says, you were in the Army? Who knew? Listen, if the only thing I get out of 6 years in the Army is 60 years of sermon references, I'll use it. Jeez, man. So anyway, I was stationed in Bosnia. And I don't know if you've ever vacationed in Bosnia, man, but it's a treat. You know what I mean? So I've come down on orders to Bosnia, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it's pretty enriching. So you get off the plane and in Hungary, because you got to drive to Bosnia because you can't fly in because, I don't know, RPG's near or something. And so so you get off the plane in Hungary, and if you've never gone on a plane with an M16 in your hand, it's kind of different, you know, when you're there with a few hundred of your closest friends with M16s. And so then you get off the plane, and they hand you 210 rounds of live ammunition. And they say, hey, man, here you go. You're going to need this. Now, please don't laugh at me as first service did, because I thought it was kind of mean, actually, because I was burying my soul. The night before I went to Bosnia, I laid in bed and I wept to Crystal because I was so scared. I'm not talking like crying. Like, I wept, like inner guttural weeping, because I literally was afraid I was going to die in this place. I mean, they train you for the worst. So you get off the plane and you go, and thank you for not laughing. They laughed at me for crying, man. That's weak. Isn't that weak? So I was heavy-handed after that in the sermon after they laughed at me. I know, man. I was scared. So anyway, so then 210 rounds, they get you on a convoy, and when you're going through the convoy of Hungary and you pass into Croatia and you're on your way to Bosnia, like, the countryside really isn't that much different than the Northwest. I mean, it would look like any other outlying area that wasn't in a city. But the difference is that the homes are bombed out. There's, you know, bullet holes in everything. There's just the infrastructure is gone. And so, you know, for a guy that had only been in the Army for a short amount of time with 210 rounds, sitting in the back of a Humvee, I'm thinking, this is not good. Like, I'm scared, right? You can laugh at that part. It's fine. From this point on, you can laugh at anything I say, just not the part about me crying. Go. And so, thanks. So anyway, so you're traveling on the convoy, and all I can think is, I do not want to be in this convoy with my 210 rounds in a bombed out country. I want to be somewhere safe. And so, bless God, the convoy leads up to a base camp, and the base camp is surrounded by high walls and dudes with like big 50 cal machine guns, and everybody's there. And as I saw that, I thought to myself, oh, glory to God, safety. Amen. Oh, you just come across, once you get through that gate, and then it's like, oh, it's like you hear music and stuff, and there's warm food and warm beds, and there's dudes with machine guns on the walls that are keeping you safe, man. And I tell you, I slept so well that night just knowing that, like, somebody else was watching that wall, and I didn't have to worry about my 210 rounds or anybody going to get me, right? There's a sermon in there somewhere. Next morning, man, we got to move. Like, one night, bro, that's all you get. You got to keep going. I won't go, I'm stay. I like the base with the 50 cals and the hot food. I don't want to go out in a convoy. Why don't I share that with you? I hope you're picking this thing up, man. You can either spend your life behind the walls being safe, or you can go out there where all the wolves are. The choice is yours, amen. I'd much rather be on the inside of the wall. Is there still going to be problems inside the sheepfold? Yeah, there's sheep there. They bite. Okay, they bite, they stink, and they got matted wool. But you know what? I'll take stink, bite, and matted wool instead of death by wolf. Amen? Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm preaching to the same way. I'm preaching to the right people. Jesus isn't saying there's a way to steal your way into the sheepfold. He's rebuking the Pharisees here, but the other message is that there is a sheepfold. There is a place of protection and peace that the Lord Jesus wants you to be in. And the stubbornness of individuals never ceases to amaze me. Given the opportunity, we'd much rather fail on our own than succeed with help. Why? Man, if there's a safe place that somebody else wants to take me, I am all for it, man. I'm only where I'm at today because of the graciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His protection and His care. Because I've lived in the sheepfold most of my life. It's where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else. Second part is this, folks. Listen to the voice of the shepherd.
Amen.
Yeah. You want to be in the sheepfold.
Yeah.
And while you're in the sheepfold, listen to the voice of the shepherd.
Yeah.
It's not just being in the sheepfold that is life-changing. It is what happens when the shepherd actually shepherds you. Like a sheep left to its own without a shepherd dies. That's how it works. I love the word picture that sheep and shepherd provide. We, as His sheep, need to be shepherded And we need to be led by Him and the Holy Spirit to the place where He wants us to be. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And He's leading us somewhere if we will let Him. Many a believer in Christ will not let the great shepherd shepherd them. They figure, you know what, I've got this thing all on lockdown. I'll take care of it on my own. I don't need to be led. Folks, it's one of the most damning things we can do to ourselves. Seriously, I mean, it's selfishness. It's just true. I mean, we end up going in the wrong place because we refuse to be shepherded by the shepherd. He's declared as the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now I want to show you the scripture. You may have never heard it. You can turn with me in your Bibles. It's in the book of Psalms, in the 23rd Psalm. Might have heard for it. So, as a pastor, I'm called upon to do funerals. And I will tell you, most people that ask me to do funerals inevitably want the 23rd Psalm read at people's funerals. Because in some superstitious way, they feel that after death, by reading the 23rd Psalm, in some way it's going to enter them into God's holy kingdom. So, friend, I encourage you today to start allowing the 23rd Psalm to be your psalm now while you are living. Don't put your hope in the fact that one day I will do your funeral and read the 23rd Psalm and maybe it will make it. It's not a good gamble. You will lose. Watch. 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He? Because that's what people want to read. They want to read the psalm because they love all the other things that the psalm says, but they don't stick on that first part of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Because if He's not your shepherd, you are not going to get the blessings of the 23rd Psalm. You cannot expect to get the blessings of the shepherd without following where the shepherd wants to take you.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If He is your shepherd, you will not want. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. He will lead you in the path of righteousness. You will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you will not fear evil. He will be with you. His rod and His staff will comfort you. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He will anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. And goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If He is your shepherd. The promises of the great shepherd are predicated on actually letting Him shepherd you.
Yes.
If you're not allowing Him to lead you, you are not one of His sheep.
Yeah,
people want the promises of the 23rd Psalm without actually letting the shepherd shepherd them.
Yeah,
I want those promises. I don't want to have to actually live it and believe it.
Yeah,
those who are truly called of Christ and are His sheep hear His voice and can easily detect error that is not of Him. In 1 John chapter 2, it talks about false teachers and false doctrine. There is such a thing as false doctrine and false teachers. But the Holy Spirit that resides in you, if you have it, will give you that check in your spirit that what you're hearing is not from God. It's one of the reasons why I encourage people to not watch preaching on television. Not because they're all bad, it's just because most of them are. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot detect what is of God and what's not of God, and you will be led astray. I trust in, because I know the Holy Spirit, me and Him have a relationship, I can watch those guys and be like, dude, that is not of God, dude. You are preaching you.
Yeah.
Boop! And I'll throw it out. Some people don't have that measure of discernment.
Yeah,
they think that everybody that says that they're a pastor is a pastor.
No.
I think everybody that says they're a preacher is a preacher. They think just because they're on TV that they're good people. Folks, there is such a thing as a false doctrine.
Yeah.
There is such thing as a false gospel.
Yeah.
If you are following the true shepherd, the Holy Spirit Himself will give you a check in your spirit to say, you know what, that's not of God.
Yeah.
That is not of Him. True sheep will not be led astray by a false shepherd. You must flee from that error. You must run from it. You must only listen to the voice of the shepherd. Now, if my preaching in and of itself isn't enough to satisfy you till Wednesday or the following Sunday, and you're looking for some more preaching, You can ask, well, who should I listen to? Dude, I mean, you can listen to any one of my friends in Auburn. Most of those guys are preaching the truth. I know people around here that are on podcasting and on video and everything else, and they preach the gospel every single day of every single week. I know them. We've got flesh and blood relationships. I trust them. They are preaching the true gospel. So if you're not getting enough here and you want some more, I'll let you know who you should and shouldn't listen to by my own estimation. Now, let me say this. I, as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd, must always do His will and follow His lead. A pastor is an under-shepherd of the great shepherd. Every church has a shepherd over the flock that is an under-shepherd to the great shepherd. It's the way in which God has ordained it and planned it. And I am not the shepherd. I am a shepherd of the great shepherd and one of many that reside over churches all over the world. And I say this to you, not for myself. If you end up going to another church, if you are visiting here this morning, whatever it may be, you need to be in the member of a local church where you are shepherded by an under shepherd of the great shepherd. Now it's one of the most horrible things that people, because of their own reasons, refuse to be shepherded by the under-shepherd.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
They think that for some reason that God has called these under-shepherds into a place of authority and that they get some sort of pure morbid curiosity out of making their whole lives consumed with you growing in your relationship with God. The under-shepherd's job is to lead you into greener pastures. To bring you to greater relationship with God, to prod you and to poke you and to lift you up with His crook to get you closer to those green pastures. And for the life of me, I never understood why people buck up against an under-shepherd that's trying to lead them into greener pastures. Why you always got to tell me to get along with people and why I got to change this thing about my life. I'm fine being angry and everybody don't like me. They can just deal with me being angry the rest of my life. Say amen if you know somebody like that.
Amen.
Not you, just somebody you know. Amen?
Right.
Folks, as your pastor, I am trying to lead you to greener pastures.
Amen.
And here's the litmus test, man. If I am not leading you to the cross, if I am not leading you into a deeper relationship with Christ, take me out back here and stone me. All joking aside, though, like, dude, my intention is to bring you into a deeper relationship with Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
You would never understand how emotionally tumultuous it is to actually have to shepherd people.
Oh, yes,
to actually tell somebody, hey, man, there's something in your life that is going to lead you to destruction,
yeah,
and let me bring you back on this path.
Yeah, come on.
Sheep bite.
Yeah.
A true under-shepherd will not lead people to thorns. He leads them to greener pastures. I pray that my preaching and the ministry of this church, that you walk out thinking like, oh, greener pastures. Greener pastures. But you have to let yourself be led. You have to let yourself be shepherded. It always strikes me as interesting that even the most skilled athletes, I don't know, like Russell Wilson, always have to still be coached. Russell Wilson, great quarterback, will say, Coach Pete helped me. He helped me be a better player. He helped me be a better football player. Because when you have someone else outside your life that's looking at you that says, hey man, your elbow's here, it needs to be here because you can't see back here, all of a sudden you can throw a whole lot better. But it takes a coach to do that. It takes somebody helping you to that place. Do not be deceived by false teachers. Don't let them lead you into false places. Amen?
Amen?
And here's the third and final point. Live the abundant life. Live the abundant life. I love John 10:10. A lot of people love John 10:10. They just don't love all the other parts leading up to that, the whole having to be shepherded and all that other stuff. They just want the life everlasting. Well, what I love is the compare and the contrast between the thief, Satan, and Jesus. Now, in this, remember, the direct reference that Jesus is making is to the Antichrist and to the thief, the great deceiver. But the reality is that Satan's nature has not changed. He still steals, he still kills, he still destroys. And God's nature has not changed. He still is calling and saying life more abundantly.
Amen.
Now, I read my Bible different than the way other people read it. So you don't have to take this. This is my own opinion. See, look, disclaimer, take it or leave it. But this is what I think. If Satan steals, kills, and destroys, God's not Satan, right?
Right.
He's not Satan. So he's got to be the opposite of what Satan is, right? If Satan comes to steal, and Jesus is not Satan, and he's not going to do as Satan does, well, if Satan steals, God's going to give. He's a giver. If Satan is a killer, God's not a killer. He's a giver of life. He's going to give people life. If Satan is a destroyer, God cannot be a destroyer, because that would make him have the same kind of heart as Satan. No way. Then he's going to build things up.
Amen.
That which has been destroyed, he's going to restore through his power.
Yes.
Now again, I share this with you, church. Does that mean that you're going to live a perfect life? No. But you know what? I love the abundant life.
Yes. Amen.
I love living in the sheepfold. I love being on the right side of the wall. I love being in the place where I'm under his care and his protection. Does it mean that bad things happen to good people? Yeah, if you live longer than a week, you realize that that to be true. But I don't know what the rest of the world does when they go through stuff and they don't have the good shepherd on their side, man. I have no idea what they do. Jesus wants to bring you into that abundant life, amen? Understand this, church. Satan wants to destroy your life utterly and completely. There's a spiritual battle being waged for your soul every hour of every single day. But Jesus wants to give you that abundant life, but you have to let him do it. You have to actually, you know, I believe, and we don't want to get all too much of the theology of this thing, but I believe that God calls every single hour of every single day. He's calling people into the sheepfold. And he's saying, please come from life, from death to life. Come from the side of destruction into my protection and into my care. Jesus said it in John 5, verse 40. He says, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. A lot of people's problem with Jesus, the problem isn't Jesus, the problem's them. Because they're just unwilling to come.
Yeah.
So just bow the knee.
Yeah.
Just say, do you know what? I'm done living for myself. I'm done out in the wilderness on my own. I'm done trying to figure out things my own way. I don't know why. I don't know if it's out of embarrassment or out of pride. I'm completely fine with people thinking that I am a weaker person because I'm with the strongest person.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with it whatsoever. But you must come to him. Amen? The Holy Spirit is opening the door right now, calling you and saying, you know what? Are you going to come into the sheepfold? Are you going to follow the great shepherd? Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads, please? Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Please, just give me a couple minutes. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and say, you know what, Pastor? I have not been living in the sheepfold. I've heard this message so many times and I've just never, ever gone into the sheepfold. Today, the Holy Spirit is calling you to the great shepherd. You feel it in your spirit. He's just saying, please come. Please come. He's calling you. The question is, are you going to respond? Are you going to walk into that sheepfold where he has you? Now, if you've never done that before, if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, to come out of the wilderness into the sheepfold, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today, first time only. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what, I'm done living for myself, I'm going to start living for Jesus, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Anybody here this morning need to make that decision? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Now, There's a number of us also that as we've lived in the sheepfold, we have either meandered away from it, as sheep are known to do, or we might just leave one little foot outside the door. One foot outside the door can be gnawed off by a wolf. Maybe there's an area of your life where you've said, you know what, I have not been in the sheepfold, man. There's an area of my life where I've just not been in the sheepfold. Would you right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you just allow God to pull you back in? Would you let him know, say, you know what, God, I'm coming back into your protection and care today, God. Would you just let him know, God, I'm coming back into your protection and care. I don't want to live out in the wilderness anymore. I want to live where you want me to live. Father God, we praise you today in the powerful name of Jesus. God, we thank you for calling us to you, God. We declare today that you are our great shepherd. Father, we declare today that we will follow you. We declare today that we will be led by you to those greener pastures. And God, we're sorry for those times that we've been led astray, God. Father, we pray today that as we go from this place, that you will lead us, God, in our relationships and in our lives, God, that you will empower us by the Holy Spirit to live wholly and completely for you. God, I pray for that person that raised their hand that wants to live in your sheepfold today, God, that you would become real to them. Father, that you'd receive them into your kingdom as they're calling on your name, God. Father, we need you so desperately in our lives, God. Father, we praise you, we glorify you, we lift you today in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen.